It all starts on the East Coast, right? Well, we're going to give you the AFC East grades today. Who did well, who didn't? Get down to it today on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go. If I hit the button.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, former NFL and NFL Divas are back, Eric Crocker. And of course, as always, joined by my co-host, Ryan Tracy. He's at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. I'm at Eric _ Crocker. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you, the people out there, for making us your first listen of the day. This is it. This is the last division that we're working with. Giving out grades, and more so than giving out grades, I've had people hit me, you gave my team a C+ or a C- or whatever, and it's like, look, listen to the analysis more than the actual grade. The grade doesn't mean anything after, and the grade doesn't mean anything, period. But the analysis on what were they thinking? What were they trying to do? You know, looking at some of the guys, maybe some things we like more than others, but that's more important than the actual letter grade. But since we are still giving out grades, we are starting at the top with the New York Jets, right there in the AFC East. Obviously, teams that had multiple first-round picks, it's like by default, you just did very well. Well, they had three of them, right? At pick four, they took Sauce Gardner, cornerback out of Cincinnati. Pick 10, they took Garrett Wilson, receiver out of Ohio State. They traded back into the late part of the first round and drafted Jermaine Johnson, a guy that some people thought that they would take in the top 10. Second round, early on there, talking about pick four in the second round, they drafted Breece Hall, running back out of Iowa State, who was a lot of guys in RB1. And then the third round, Jeremy Rucker, tight end out of Ohio State, Max Mitchell, offensive tackle out of Louisiana in the fourth round, and also in the fourth round, Michael Clemens, defensive end, Texas A&M. So, I mean, this is a pretty legit list of guys, and it's hard to not do well when you have three first-round picks, but what are your thoughts on it?
I give them a lot of credit. You're right. This is a good list. A, they took advantage of where they were, and they selected players that were worthy of the grade at 4 and at 10. And then they did what I think earns them the grade here, is they went back in and got to 26 to take Jermaine Johnson. That wasn't a gimme. They didn't have that pick. They had to work to earn that. And they turned that into a player that's going to start for them, that's going to be productive for them, and they feel they can build around on the front while they have Sauce in the back of the defense and obviously Wilson on offense. They came back. 36 is a little high for running back in my opinion, but they liked him and they went and got him. They'll plug him in and he will help their offense. I personally would have probably flipped 2 and 3 because I like Rucker a lot. I think he's really going to help Wilson. He's a guy that can do it all for them. He can line up an H. He can line up in line. He has good hands. He wasn't utilized enough because of his teammate, Garrett Wilson. But this is another thing where a team went out and drafted two guys from the same roster who know how to play together, who know how to not overlap when they're trying to break down zones or where those routes need to go. I like that aspect of it. I think Max Mitchell is a decent developmental player, same as Michael Clemens. And when you're not picking anything after 117, you're bound to do pretty well. I mean, I got to give him an A. There's a chance that they had the best draft of this class because of where those selections were. I think they did very well for themselves.
Yeah, they killed it. All right. And obviously, they had the trade rumors going on with the 49ers and Debo Samuel. They ended up, you know, keeping their pick and taking Garrett Wilson there. And I think the Garrett Wilson pick was what made the Washington Commanders trade out of the 11th overall spot. So that was a guy who probably wasn't falling past pick 11.
Yeah. All
right. Dynamic receiver. And I think everything right now should be to help your young quarterback, Zach Wilson. And this is a guy who you want to see him take that year two leap. He finished the last season the last six games. It was rocky. He had some kind of weirder moments. I remember watching the game early in the season where it's the third quarter and he had four completions and four interceptions. And we're talking about middle of the third quarter. I thought that was like just one of the wildest stat lines that I've seen. All right. So he had his rocky moments, but he also showed you the flash plays, the ability to make plays with his legs, the wild throws. Those things definitely pop. And down the stretch, he ended up taking better care of the ball. Now, he took better care of the ball. The numbers still weren't crazy. And he was a guy who I believe was what, a 55% completion percentage type guy. Maybe it was some of it dealing with drops and whatnot. More interceptions than touchdowns. So there's a lot of improvement that needs to be made. But I will say, if they felt like maybe lack of weapons was part of the issue, they definitely jumped all over that in this draft. And like you said, it started at the receiver position going to get Garrett Wilson. I love that. A young, dynamic receiver, terrific route runner that can play outside, play inside. He's explosive. I really like that pick. To go with Corey Davis, to go with Elijah Moore, who you drafted last year, pretty high. And still, I mean, Braxton Berrios, they just gave him money. Denzel Mims, that's a guy that they're still trying to figure out what's going on with him. It hasn't gone very well, but regardless of all that, they have guys now where I think they should feel much more confident. And not just that, CJ Azuma, all right, going to get that big tight end, you know, as well as drafting Jeremy Rucker. So clearly they said, you know what, we're going to load up on weapons around our young quarterback and give him the best opportunity to succeed. They went offensive line as well, Lakin Tomlinson, that they went and paid big money to. So I think the offense, especially what they've done recently in drafts, bringing in guys like George Font, Becton, who is a top pick, you know, Vera Tucker, I really like what they're doing. I think they're heading in the right direction as long as their quarterback takes that next jump. And he has all the weapons now, so we'll see what happens there. On the defensive side of the ball, obviously they drafted Sauce Gardner pretty high, number four overall. And that was one thing I'm like, man, I know they can use a corner. Will they do it? You know, you got Bryce Hall. And I felt like the further along he was away from that injury he suffered his junior year, or was it senior year, where he snapped his ankle. It was one of those years. It was not pretty. And he seems to be kind of like, you know, catching on, doing a little bit more. You know, last year, seems like he started trending towards being a legit starter. Well, they went out and got DJ Reed. And I'm like, okay, get DJ Reed. Are they thinking about maybe staying put with DJ Reed and Bryce Hall and have other guys that I think people are kind of sleeping on with, like Brandon Echols or, you know, Michael Carter. Some guys that are really young that were drafted in the previous year. Nope, they went Sauce Gardner. So they did that. That's awesome. And another thing they need to do, you know, Carl Lawson, they had lost him early on. Hey, we need some pass rush help. Okay, let's go get Jermaine Johnson. So I think this team, it just got drastically better. And I think they did an amazing job of getting better around their young quarterback. You know, you gave this an A. I have to give it an A as well. A plus. Yeah. It, you know, again, when you get three first-round picks and you're able to land the guys that they got, it's hard to get, you know, a bad grade. And then a few plays later, I didn't even mention the running back, Breece Hall, after drafting Michael Carter, the running back. They got two Michael Carters on their team that they drafted last season. But Michael Carter, the running back, and it's like, oh, well, let's go get Breece Hall, who's a do-it-all guy and fits that outside zone scheme extremely well. So, love what they did around the young quarterback. This is 100% the A-plus in my book.
Yeah. Watch out, AFC East.
Watch out, AFC East. And we will get to more teams from the AFC East next. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. All right? And I don't know if y'all noticed, but Built Bar, they just got the new cake, birthday cake puffs in. And I'm a huge fan of the puffs. I know Ryan's not as much, you know, in love with the marshmallow. Hey, he can send his box to me. All right, these things are amazing. They taste great. Only 150 calories, only 9 grams of sugar. And as I'm eating it, I just keep asking myself, like, dude, there's no way that this is only 9 grams of sugar. It just tastes that good. All right, it has definitely helped me replace my fetish for snacks and things like that and the urge to eat bad. True story, this morning I was out. I almost went to the donut shop, all right, after dropping my kids off. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go home and eat a Built Bar. And that's what I did. All right, so Built Bar is going to replace that craving that you have for other things. And again, it is healthy for you. 150 calories, 16 grams of protein. Come on. You can't beat that. All right, only 9 grams of sugar, and that's with the puff. And they have all kinds of different flavors for you. All right, they got the churro, all kinds of puffs. They got all kinds of regular bars. They have everything that you need. And if you think of a flavor, they might make it for you. And if they do, I guarantee it's going to be good. All right, so you guys go ahead, not just get some Built Bars, man. Make sure you get try the Built Bar birthday cake. They're amazing. They're going right now, and you can get a discount when you go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off of your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Once again, we want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. For your second listen of the day, Ryan Tracy over there with Locked On Chiefs or Locked On 49ers with myself and Brian Peacock coming at you 5 days a week. All right, Ryan. Next team up, Buffalo Bills. And this is a team who, I mean, obviously we know they got star-studded quarterback. And the thing that I was waiting to see was, man, how are they going to help their quarterback? All right, so first round they went Kyrie Elam, cornerback out of Florida. Loved it. Loved the fit. We mocked him several times to the Buffalo Bills. Second round, we talked about getting some help there. James Cook, running back out of Georgia. Third round, Terrell Bernard, linebacker out of Baylor. Khalil Shakir, wide receiver out of Boise State. They got him in the fifth round. Sixth round, they went a little special teams here with Matt Arazia, the punter out of San Diego State, which I was kind of shocked a little bit. There was a lot of buzz and hype around him. He was not the first punter selected. I think he was maybe the third punter that was selected. All right. So they got him out of San Diego State. They also had a couple more sixth-round draft picks. Christian Benford, cornerback out of Villanova. Luke Tenuta. There we go. Offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech. And Baylon Specter, linebacker out of Clemson. And for me, the one that jumps out right away, obviously I love the Elam pick. When you have Tre'Davious White, he's coming off of an injury. You know, they've had to kind of patch that other side up with Levi Wallace. I think he was kind of the weak link in the secondary. You want to strengthen that. They have two terrific safeties back there as well with Hyde and Poyer. So it's like, okay, let's get better at the other cornerback spot. And they went and got a guy who I felt like, really, if he would have went in the top 15, I wouldn't have been surprised at all. I think Kyrie Elam is going to be that good of a corner, or he's at least that good of a prospect. All right. But the thing I think that helped him the most, and it's kind of going to bump their grade up for me, they got James Cook, running back out of Georgia. And if you have watched Buffalo, you know that the running back position has been, I don't even want to say hit and miss. It just has been very sporadic. You know, there was a game I watched early in the year where nobody outside of Josh Allen carried the ball in an entire half. Mm. Now, is that on the offensive coordinator or what, right? Like, how hard is it just to call a run play? But that also tells you how they feel about the running backs that they have, where that at any point they can just become an afterthought. And I know you might think, well, they got this amazing quarterback. That's why. Like, no, you still want to keep teams honest. And your quarterback in that game ran for over 100 yards to end up leading your team in rushing, all right? That is not ideal. You want him to be able to be a quarterback, but also hand the ball off and not have to put everything on his shoulders. I think, again, James Cook is going to help with that. I think it helped himself weighing in at 200 pounds at 5'11", mm-hmm. So a little bulk there. Can he add about 5 more pounds, right? Moves well, explosive runner, average over 6 yards per carry in the SEC. A terrific pass catcher as well out of the backfield. And not just, oh, I can catch the ball. I'm talking about somebody that has, like, legit route running ability. A guy that they would split out wide, do some things with him. Jet sweeps, hand the ball off to him. So I think it's going to make life a lot easier. And then another pick that I really liked was in the fifth round, again, Khalil Shakir, wide receiver out of Boise State. And, you know, some of these teams have these, like, helmets that they get. Like, if someone is, like, an amazing person, great leader, all those type of things, they get, like, this gold star or gold helmet. Well, I think Khalil Shakir, like, he's that type of guy. And I think, you know, him going to a team like Buffalo, they got some good receivers there. Obviously, they got Diggs, they got Gabriel Davis. And I think adding a guy like him is going to even make them just more dangerous. So, love it. Like a lot of what they did. Obviously, it might not be the New York Jets draft, but I'm going to go ahead and give them a B.
I like where you're coming from. And you've hit a lot of the pieces. For B, Elam is just – such a good fit. Now giving balance with Trey White on the other side. And you're playing outside of maybe the best safety tandem in all of football, in Poyer and Hyde. They played at a tremendous level last season. And now all of a sudden, the weak point becomes the nickel, and they're clearly happy with Teron Johnson's performance. They have him. They have Cyril Neal as well. So the nickel becomes maybe the weakest of all the secondary positions, and they feel that they can compensate for that. It makes them harder to attack.
And they just paid Johnson, if I'm not mistaken. So
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
And so they got to be comfortable. And that all makes them more difficult to attack. And if you can slow down, and we saw it with the way that the season ended for the Bills against the Chiefs, that they were just that close. If they can prevent just 3 points maybe a game, that swings a number of games for them and puts them ahead. This is team building where you're not just plugging holes. This is also getting good players, but at positions that they can step in and help you right away. Just off the top, it's such a great fit. Now, I understand they're interested in McDuffie as well. I think that would have been a great fit as well in a different way, but also addresses their need. And then Cook, my favorite thing about the Cook fit, when you come back there, obviously Zach Moss hasn't been everything they want. They went and got Duke Johnson, I believe, as well. So that running back room is kind of full, but it comes down to James Cook is able to play the same role that he played at Georgia. He doesn't have to be the every down back. Devin Singletary is there for that. He gets to come in and back cleanup. And he's a home run hitter, and that's the big deal. And I think that changes the aspect of the offense for you because you know at any given touch, he could take it. And that changes the way the defense has to respect him, the backfield in general, and I think that helps everybody else. I think you nailed it with Shakir. Shakir's one of my favorite fits of all the draft picks. I liked him going in, but his fit here is perfect. Jameson Crowder should be a little bit nervous. Because I think as the season goes on, Shakir's going to push for some of his playing time. And when you put him with Davis and with Diggs, that is a powerful trio that's going to be difficult to scheme around because they can do so much. If they had a tight end that I was really excited about, I would feel better. But, you know, it is Dawson Knox. Whenever you pay attention to everyone else, he shows up and hurts you. And it's like clockwork. So I think that this makes them that much tougher for a team that was already very, very good. The punter. Hey, sixth round, I'll live with it. You know, taking specialists in the draft bugs me, but that's just me. I'm really interested to see what Benford brings because I didn't get to see him pre-draft. So I'm interested in that. Like, Tanuta is a decent developmental tackle that I think he might be able to help you down the line. And Spectre, I didn't have him as a draftable grade, but I think if anybody's going to get it out of him, it might be the Buffalo Bills. It feels like that lunch pail type guy is going to work there. So I like they did as well. I'm not quite as high as you. I'm going to say a B-plus out of it. Because two fits, I think, are ecstatic, and the rest, they filled in as well. So, good job, Bills.
All right, awesome job. The rich get richer. And there's another team that's kind of known to be a little rich in the AFC East over there. Got the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins coming up next. But first, definitely want to tell you a little bit about Rock Auto and how this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. All right, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning about the vehicle that you have and wait behind a counter for someone who only has one warehouse that they're getting their parts from? You have computers and you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So you need to save time and money when using Rock Auto and do that right now. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. All right, and they have reliably low prices for every type of customer. All right, and they even, you know, have all the kind of parts that you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil. They even have new carpet. All right, so go explore the easy-to-use website today and find a solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Ryan, we got two teams coming up, and we're going to start with the New England Patriots, who shocked everybody by taking Cole Strange in the first round. Tail end of the first round, but that was their guy. They identified that was who they wanted, so they got Cole Strange at the guard out of Tennessee, Chattanooga. And in round two, they went and got Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver out of Baylor. Can't wait to talk about that. Then they drafted back-to-back cornerbacks. All right, one in the third round, Marcus Jones, cornerback out of Houston. And then one in the fourth round, Jack Jones, cornerback out of Arizona State. Then they had two more picks in the fourth round. Like what they did here, too. Pierre Strong, running back out of South Dakota, outside zone type runner. Then Bailey Zappe, your guy, all-time passing leader over one season in college football history out of Western Kentucky. All right, and then they went Kevin Harris in the sixth round out of South Carolina, running back. Sam Roberts, defensive tackle out of Northwest Missouri State University. All right. Chazen Hines, center out of LSU. I like a lot what LSU. I feel like LSU's entire offensive line got drafted. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised.
Three of them, right?
Well, we've talked a good. I mean, this is. I feel like this is like the fourth time that we've brought up an LSU offensive
right,
line. Right. All right. Chazen Hines, center out of LSU. Andrew Stuber, our offensive tackle out of Michigan. But I'll get your thoughts on it first. What do you think?
Well, the first pick that they made is certainly set the tempo for this draft. It was a strange draft class for the New England Patriots. Cole Strange is a good player. Clearly, the Patriots are known to have the smallest draft board in the league, rumored this year to be under 90 players. But that's a reach. Let's just be honest. I don't think any other team in the league had him graded above the second round or into the second round. So that felt like a reach to me. Tyquan Thornton certainly brings you some explosiveness. He brings you some size. I didn't think you had to go up to 50 to do it. I think he could have been available later. I feel like that's a bit of a reach as well. Marcus Jones feels like the perfect fit in terms of value. I think he'll play right away. I think they're looking to get tougher. When you look at their nickel group, Jonathan Jones is still on the roster, still up there in age, not getting any younger fast. So like, there is a vision for a path to playing time really quick for Marcus Jones. Jack Jones, I think, also is a guy that after a season or two, I think he's going to be in the mix there. And that feels like really good quality depth for me. But I think the fourth round, starting with Jack Jones, is where they really shine. Pierre Strong is a guy that is going to give them a run option they haven't had in a long while. This is somebody that's explosive, that can take the ball and go. And I really like that fit for them. And like you mentioned with Zappe, yes, a ton of performance, still raw in a lot of ways. But when you take a look at him and Mac Jones, a lot of people say, well, why'd you get him? They're clones. They're not necessarily clones. Just because they're about the same height and about the same build, that doesn't make them the same, because Zappe processes super fast and he gets the ball out super fast. That's not Mac Jones. He doesn't have a killer arm. He doesn't have a lot of the intangibles because he hasn't been a leadership position at any one school for long enough to get there. So I think the two of them kind of mesh nicely, and you get a little bit of different things should Mac ever have to miss time, or if it actually becomes a competition. They're two different flavors of quarterback, in my opinion. I think my favorite pick there, again, was Chazen Hines, because I think he has the ability to come along and give them some depth there. Overall, a little perplexing to me about some of the decision-making, but at the end, they got three starters out of it plus. So I'm going to call it a C-minus and just go from there.
All right, C-minus. I think Mac Jones is a little bit better processor than you're giving him credit for. Right, he processes really well. Arm isn't the biggest. I'll give you that. It's solid. It's solid. All right, yeah, the Cole Strange one, though, that was interesting. But I want to talk about some of the things I did really like. One, Tyquan Thornton. Because you talk about Mac Jones, and I will say this. When Mac Jones was at Alabama, he had those speedy guys on the outside. He had guys that were separating, route runners, and things like that. And he would throw the ball out there, whether it was Jerry Jeudy. You know, he was throwing the ball at one point to Henry Ruggs and those guys, but also, you know, look what he did with Devontae Smith and John Metchie, right? Mm-hmm. He was able to stretch the ball vertically down the field with those type of guys. Well, last year, you know, you have Nelson Aguilar, and he's like, okay, he can run a little bit. Then Kendrick Bourne, and you were relying on Kendrick Bourne to be your wide receiver one. You know, he still had guys like Jacoby Myers, but, you know, then you have the two tight ends. But who is that one guy that can really open things up for you? All right, so I think going out and getting Tyquan Thornton, who I think is going to be a terrific speed guy. I think he's a terrific speed guy. I think he has more suddenness than giving credit for. He's a guy that can create some natural separation just off of his speed alone. I talk about some guys playing fast or not playing as fast, maybe to their 40-yard dash. He plays to his 4.2 speed. Mm-hmm. Like, it is evident. I think he's a terrific contested catch guy as well, a hands catcher. Really like that. So I'm a big fan of it. Again, like you, pick, you know, the 50th pick overall, is that a little rich? Maybe. But I think for what they need, which they need him, that type of guy to come in there on the offense and open things up, I like it. Marcus Jones and Jack Jones, I like. I never question Patriots cornerback picks. They right. typically identify the prospect and understand his strengths, his weaknesses, and they put him in situations to where he can, you know, hit the ground running. So Marcus Jones, I like it. Now, the only thing is, And you had talked about him stepping in right away. We'll see. I mean, he's had those double shoulder injuries. So when is he going to be cleared to play? You know, how soon will that be? But as soon as he's out there, he is a guy who I feel like they're going to have a specific role for him. He's going to do well right away. And then Pierre Strong, they drafted two running backs, Kevin Harris, Pierre Strong. I think those guys kind of complement each other. But they also have been drafting a bunch of running backs, I feel like, or getting some guys undrafted. So now you have a stable of guys. I mean, I feel like there's about four or five guys that can really run the rock. And Pierre Strong, he's different than a lot of those guys. He's a pure one-cut, get-up-field right now type guy, and he's explosive in that way. But overall, I think I like the draft a little bit more than you because I think I just it just puts them in a better position as far as depth and some of the things that they were losing. Again, you got Mac Jones coming in second year, should see a better version of him as well. He finished the season strong. You know, we're talking about a guy who threw seven interceptions over his last five games, and the only game he didn't throw a pick in was Jacksonville. And they lost those other four games that he threw picks in. So didn't finish that strong. Has to get better from there. I think a haul like this is going to help them. I'm going to give them a B minus. I'm going to give them a B minus.
All right, but okay.
Okay, I know. Now this we use a lot of time talking about those other teams. Mm-hmm. Now we have the Miami Dolphins here, and they only have four picks, so it might not take that long. And I don't really have a whole lot of takeaways with it. Or we're talking about Miami team, and this is the tough part, right? We talked about the New York Jets, who have four picks in the first, 34 selections, sure. Right? Well, that's not the case for Miami. They didn't have a pick until 102, all right? And then 125, and then the late 200s. So this is a team who just doesn't have a whole lot. So I'm actually not going to even give them a grade. I'm just going to say it's an A. It's incomplete. Because, I mean, I just can't judge them off this. But I will say, okay, you go and get Channing Tindall in the third round out of Georgia. Eric Azukuma, receiver out of Texas Tech. I know a lot of people really liked him. Cameron Good, a linebacker out of California. Go Cal, Berkeley Bears. All right, then Skyler Thompson, quarterback out of Kansas State. I like him, a guy who kind of little spunky type player, moves around well, like what I saw from him at the Shrine Bowl. But not a whole lot of takeaways here. And again, they didn't have a whole lot of draft capital. Maybe you want to throw Tyreek Hill into that and say, well, they used some of the capital to get a big-time receiver. So that kind of bumps him up.
That's where your 1 and 2 went.
I still got to give them an incomplete, though, because it's just
– okay, all right. Well, I'm going to include Hill because that's your first and second pick there. That's a major acquisition. Now, if you can get a quarterback that can get it to him, you'll be in business, right? not a dig necessarily on Tua. When you're asking to compare to Patrick Mahomes' arm, that's not really realistic. And you got Skylar Thompson later in this draft as a toolsy guy that maybe you can do something with, maybe an RPO package or something different, right? But you got to include Hill in that. And so you got to give him a little bit of bump there. Today or yesterday, they went out and they're going to sign Melvin Ingram. So they got a little bit of pass rush on the side after the fact because pass rushers went early in this draft. So did you really help yourself by taking Channing Tindall? I think you did. When you look at what you have behind Christian Wilkins, he's going to be able to line up and really come downhill and do a good job for them. Jerome Baker, I think you can feel pretty comfortable with. Will Jalen Phillips take a step forward? That's really the question about the edge.
Yeah.
So now you have some explosiveness at the linebacker level too. And I like that. Is he a complete linebacker? No. Is he going to turn and run with tight ends? No. At least he hasn't yet. Can they coach him up to do that? Possibly. But I have more upside in that one than maybe – most people do, and it was a comma. Good for him. Tenacious kind of guy. I like his battle, but with Hill and Waddle, and they have Cedric Wilson, I think is probably going to be their slot guy. There's room on the roster, but he's going to have to fight for it, and I want to see him bring something to it. So I'm going to give him a little bit more. I won't call it an incomplete, but I'll call it a solid C because you just gave him so much for Hill. It's all in that basket. You didn't draft that many guys. So I'm going to give him a grade though. So Miami Dolphins, I hope you will send your complaints to Eric Crocker because he's saying he's giving you a zero for not turning in your homework. I'm at least going to give you a C.
I feel like if you're going to include Tyreek Hill in this, which we have included some players in it,
right.
Then I think you almost give him a higher grade because he just means so much to this offense. Yeah. He's going to open things up in a different way. He's going to really help. They just drafted Jalen Waddle year before top 10. And I think some people are like, man, similar players. And they went through similar issues as rookies where their yards per catch was way down, right? Mm-hmm. I think both of those guys are going to be a little bit more explosive as well on the outside. So if I'm throwing Tyreek Hill in there, then I might put them in the B-minus range. Yeah. Although, you know, just because I think he makes that much of a difference for Tua. I think so. And not just Tua, but also Waddle, as we mentioned before. But,
well, and the nice thing about Waddle and Hill, you can pair them and you can use them interchangeably. Waddle's not quite the over-the-top speed of Hill, but he moves and he's got good lateral agility. Like, you can do a lot of similar things with them, and that makes him harder to defend. I like that pairing.
We're going to see how it all plays out, man. But the draft grades, they're in. And again, this is more the analysis than the actual grades. But if you value the grades, then, you know, we appreciate that too, especially if we give your team a good grade. We definitely want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And like I said before, man, for second listen, you got Ryan Tracy, Locked On Chiefs. You got myself and Brian Peacock, Locked On 49ers. You guys can interact with us on social media at Eric_Crocker, at Ryan Tracy NFL. But now, finally, we're going to start diving into some of these 2023 class prospects. Can't wait to do that, see what's out there, get a jump on that stuff, all that and more. We got John Harris coming on later this week. We got our guy Rob Rang as well. A lot to look forward to. There's never an offseason when it's draft season. All right. Appreciate all y'all. We are out. Peace.